morning, everyone. Happy, happy Monday. This is your host, Justin Williams. You are listening to Hometown Alaska. Today, we are going to go through a lovely, lovely topic that means a whole heck of a lot to me personally. We're going to be discussing nerddom and fan culture here in Anchorage, Alaska, or Alaska, Alaska. I am a lifelong nerd. I've always been a huge cinephile. I feel like some of these things have helped make me into the man that I am today, and anyone who knows that can attest to that. And to help me flow this conversation, co-facilitate this conversation, I have two phenomenal guests with me. Mr. Braxton Bundick, who is the director of CinchiCon. Braxton, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Feeling fantastic.
Fantastic. That's what I like to hear. And Miss Stephanie Cabanis, registered nurse by day and queen and president of AmpGuard of Alaska by night. Stephanie, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you both. I'm so happy to have you both here. This is a conversation. You know, I struggle with this because I only have an hour. We only have an hour. I wish we had seven. Because I feel like we could talk about this all day. And especially as it pertains to Alaska, something that I've talked about in the past on other episodes that I've hosted is just this idea that sometimes, because of the isolation, geographically, sometimes socially, we're behind on particular trends in different arenas of our society. And I kind of feel like when it comes to fan culture, nerddom, pop culture, even then we're still like a little bit behind. And maybe all that really means is just that as Alaskans, our priorities are different, right? And pop culture can be a extremely, you know, powerful tool, a resource of knowledge and entertainment, but also of belonging. And so this idea of feeling isolated here in Alaska, one of the most important things that we can do is feel like we belong to something. So Braxton, let me just address this question to you first. Where did, you know, nerddom, fandom, where did it begin for you? And, you know, did it start in Alaska or did it like begin somewhere else for you and then you brought it here with you?
It definitely started here in Alaska. I was pretty much born and raised here. The nerd portion, I guess, started with me when I was in first grade, reading like my first book ever was Sonic the Hedgehog. And I was so excited just because I was like, I read my first book and then I started drawing Sonic. And even then, like with video games, like Nintendo was my first system that became a thing, which was playing video games. But then it just transcended over time to where all of a sudden anime came into play, which I had no idea what it was. I thought it was just cartoons at the time. And then I was corrected as I was growing up.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, it pretty much started really young age for a lot of that stuff.
For sure. And you're the director of CinchiCon. Now, I don't want to assume that everyone knows what CinchiCon is. So for our listeners that may not know, could you explain what CinchiCon is and your involvement with it directly?
Yeah. So CinchiCon, it is an anime convention. If you think of pretty much like the comic cons that generally have, you know, comics and artists and that kind of stuff, this is the anime convention where it is the Japanese animation portion of that convention where it has your artists, your vendors, and guests of that anime genre into an actual building to do a conference where people can dress up as their favorite characters of any sorts. And it's not just all about, you know, anime, but you can be anything from your superheroes of today or something from sci-fi or just even from other, you know, novels. But CinchiCon, essentially, it is an anime convention, but it's where you can be anything you want to if you want to dress up or, let's say, cosplay. And this convention's been around for quite a long time.
Yeah.
I think about it, I'm like, long time now. But yeah, that's what CinchiCon really is. It was very small when it started, and then it just kind of just grew over time.
Yeah. And we actually do have a clip that we have ready to kind of help the audience be a little bit more familiar with SenchiCon. So why don't we play that clip real quick and then we'll get back to the conversation.
At SenchiCon, fandom runs deep. It's the last day of the convention and Justine Felon just got her first tattoo.
I was like, oh, I don't know if I could do this, but I did it. My friends were supporting me, and it's my first anime I really, really connected with, so I was just like, I'm gonna do this one.
Her tattoo, still fresh and covered in plastic wrap, is a symbol from the anime Fairy Tales.
There's a lot of people who don't feel like they're part of anything in that show, and like they finally find people who care about them, and that's how I feel about SenchiCon. Like, I'm a volunteer with the people here. I feel like I'm very connected with them. They're very open and accepting of who you are.
SenchiCon is similar to other conventions: vendor booths, workshops, special guests. But these attendees are rabid fans of video games, sci-fi, and comic books. Most are dressed like superheroes or anime characters, something referred to as cosplay. The vendors sell offerings like steampunk jewelry and crochet Pokemon, even musical instruments. Laura Sexhour is selling movie and video game themed ocarinas.
The instrument itself is thousands of years old, but it's popular in the modern age because of The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
One floor up, Bernadette Tix is teaching a class on sword fighting techniques. She's in full medieval garb, roaming between pairs of students facing off against each other with wooden training swords.
For the third one, the attacker is going to strike me in the head.
She's here promoting Scola St. George.
So we are set up like a school of martial arts or a dojo. We have a specific curriculum that's been developed based off of medieval fighting treatises, specifically off of the master Fiore dei Liberi.
Don't worry, I didn't know who that was either.
Fiore dei Liberi was an Italian master of defense from the early 1400s.
The genres and interests at SenchiCon might be eclectic, but Tix says it makes sense.
I think a lot of people get into medieval reenactment, medieval fighting, originally through a love of fantasy, right? A love of fantasy can inspire a love of real history as well. And a love of fantasy can also lead to a love of other forms of fiction. You know, I'm a huge Tolkien nerd, so fantasy, sci-fi, I'm an anime fan myself. I think people who often have those interests, our hope is, some of them are going to have an overlap with this.
Down the hall, there's a room where attendees can give their costumes a tune-up. This cosplayer's hair is getting a lift with ample hairspray. Cosplay is basically putting together a costume and spending the day as your favorite fictional character. It's a big part of the SenchiCon experience.
I'm cosplaying as Barry Blue Jeans from the podcast The Adventure Zone.
I'm playing as Izuku Midoriya from My Hero Academia.
I am cosplaying as a Pokemon Go trainer from the phone app Pokemon Go.
A Viking.
This one in particular is my first time with this costume people.
Veronica Pearson is roaming the convention with a medical kit. She's not in costume, but part of emergency medical services. She's worked other events at the Denina Center, but not like this.
The costumes are phenomenal. The people are amazing. A lot of them really get into their role playing, and it's kind of exciting to see. I don't think I could do it, but I like looking.
She might not have a clue about what's going on, but she appreciates the lighthearted enthusiasm of the convention.
There seems to be an atmosphere that is just fun. Can we just have some fun? And I appreciate that in a stressful world.
Fun. That's why one attendee, who goes by Kane, spent his weekend at SenchiCon. He was one of the first through the doors on Friday. He's cosplaying as Link from The Legend of Zelda video games.
I have been here since day one, and all I have to say is it was amazing.
Kane spent the weekend wandering the convention, meeting people, and checking out the attractions. He even bought himself a new ocarina to go with his costume.
I gave my old ocarina to another Link who didn't have one. No Link is complete without an ocarina.
It's that kind of instant connection with each other that attendees find so appealing about SenchiCon. It's a judgment-free zone and a chance to wear your interest on your sleeve, literally. For Kane, though, it's even simpler.
Bunch of nerds. I fit in. I fit in very well.
For AK, I'm Ammon Swenson.
Listening to that clip, man, it just gives me so much joy, you know?
I'm so happy, and I feel bad. I don't even know that clip until I heard it, and I'm like, wait a minute.
There you go. That's so awesome. Like, and just think about how integral you are to all of that, to facilitating that, to directing it, to making sure that the people who want to try it for the first time or the 50th time get to come together and do what they need to do to feel like they're themselves, man. Like, that's just so cool. So I think it's just rad that you're at the core of that, you know? So just thank you for that, man. Thank you for what you do for Alaska, bro. That's just so cool. And for everybody listening, I want you to know this is a live show. You can call in at any time. In Anchorage, our number here is 550-8433. Statewide, 1-888-353-5752. Or hit us up on email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Let us know what your favorite fandoms are. If you're obsessed with a game or a movie, you grew up on certain comic books, or you're involved with CincyCon yourself, cosplay, LARPing, let me know. This is your time to shine. Let me know. But Stephanie, since we're kind of getting into this idea of cosplay, of dressing up, of role-playing, you are the queen of AmptGuard in Alaska. Can you let us audience members know what exactly is AmptGuard?
Alrighty, so what AmpGuard is I like to describe it as taking D&D and making that happen in real life.
Yeah.
So we dress, we create our own personas, and we will go out on the weekends and we'll get together, and we have classes, like the standard classes, like Bard, Scout, Assassin, Wizard. There's 12 of them in all. And we have various officers that run each park, and one of them is called a champion, and that person is responsible for basically entertaining us for the day. They will design what we call battle games, and we split up into teams and basically go and whack each other with foam sticks or throw spell balls at each other or yell at each other and cause people to do things like move or freeze or anything like that. And we do that every weekend and enjoy the crap out of it.
That is so cool. And AmptGuard, as far as I know, is highly associated with kind of like high fantasy. Would that be correct?
You could say a high fantasy. I mean, it pulls, like, the inspirations, actually, if you look at our rule book, they pull from all kinds of places, historical, medieval, as well as fantasy when it comes to, like paladin, anti-paladin monsters. So it's kind of a mixture of both.
Yeah. Okay. That helps me kind of visualize it a lot better. When I have actually viewed it outside of the state of Alaska, it does kind of feel like you said, kind of has that Dungeons and Dragons sort of feel to it. And I think, you know, one of the biggest pop culture phenomenons that really put that sort of fantasy, high fantasy, kind of on the map for me were the cinematic iterations of Lord of the Rings from the early 2000s, right? You know, before that, I hadn't read the books. I hadn't seen the cartoon. You know, I had just seen that movie. And that sort of made, I think that sort of, we saw a push to from this sort of high fantasy being kind of like, all the cool kids don't speak about it, right? To now everyone's enjoying it. Now it's mainstream, right? Like, now we can all talk about it. And now the nerds like me that felt like we didn't have a voice like in elementary school, now we're talking to the, you know, the jocks and the cool kids at school. Like, yo, did you catch that last episode of, you know, whatever. And then, of course, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe has helped with that an entire lot. You know, now anime is huge. And I'm so grateful for all of these things that are able to really bring us together. And I'm really grateful for you that AmptGuard has a place here in Alaska, because a lot of people don't know or didn't know until just now. So how is it, like, being the president, being the queen of AmpGuard? I mean, and how does one even like take over the entire chapter of AmpGuard in the entire state of Alaska?
So that's a very loaded question. It depends on the day. So how our organization is structured is we have six parks, and they're all located all over Alaska. And with our powers combined, we form a what is referred to as a kingdom. And we are the Kingdom of Northreach. And every year we go through a series of qualifications and an election. So I am an elected physician.
Yeah.
So I'm elected by my peers. I campaigned for the position, and then I was elected in July. And then this is my second year as in this position. I reran, and so on our kingdom, I'm quoting, can't see me air quote, but on our kingdom level, these positions, there's five. Mm-hmm. We are in these positions for a year, and then most normal people will actually cycle out because a year is a very long time. Like I said, I did run for a second year, and then all my other positions changed. And then we have, as I said, there's six parks throughout Alaska, Anchorage, Palmer, Kenai, Homer, Fairbanks, and our newest park is down in Juneau. And then they have the same positions on a local level that run each park, and they do it for 6 months before they change out. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how I become. And so after I joined, I got into the local office and quickly progressed up into the kingdom office a lot faster than I anticipated, but and here I am. So that's how I became the overseer of all these guys.
Word. That's so cool. And you are a registered nurse by day, so
yep.
My goodness, I don't know how you even have the time to do all this.
I don't know either some days.
Well, people ask me that all the time, too. It's like, how do you have the time to do A, B, C, D, and do this and do that? I don't know. It just kind of happens. But, yeah, looking from the outside in, now I'm like, wow, I'm just super impressed with the both of you, you know, for everything that you do and kind of enhancing and enriching, you know, fan and pop culture here in Alaska. And I want to address this next question to the two of you. Like you said, Stephanie Amgard's been around for a long time. Braxton Sinchicon's been around for a long time. So since these things have been at least co-facilitated by the both of you here, have you seen fan culture change in Anchorage for the better or for worse?
So I guess I'll go ahead. I think it's definitely changed for the better. I mean, as things have changed from, like, let's say anime itself or just any nerd stuff like that. Like, I guess in the 90s, at least I'm guessing, because this is when I was kind of growing up, but where anime really wasn't even looked as an actual cartoon or actually looked as a positive thing or looking like it was something as a cool niche. It was, like, more of those. Like in school, like people just thought of it as like, oh, you're this nerd watching this stuff. Where now it's changed so dramatically as a good thing, I think personally, to where now you see all the anime stuff like in different stores, like Hot Topic, Walmart, and then all of a sudden Netflix is doing their stuff with everything, and even Hollywood gets their fingers in the niche of it here and there, which is kind of good and bad, whatever way you partake in it. But I mean, it's one of those things where now, I guess, if you think back in the past, it was, like I said, it was pretty much one of those, no one wants to talk about it, no one's sheltered about it, but now it's like, it's more open and it's shown from all merchandise and even on stickers of cars now. I've been realizing lately here in Alaska, and I'm like, oh, I know that character. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then you see the parents wearing it and their kids wearing it. And I'm like, okay, it's grown into a more positive, like, it's okay to show this off, instead of back then it was like, I'm not allowed to. I don't want to. I don't want to be looked down upon. But now it's like people are embracing it, think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're allowed to talk about this. It's cool. It's fine. So
yeah.
I totally agree with those sentiments. I think nowadays that being able to, you know, fly your nerd flag is more open and embraced than it was back in my younger days. Because, you know, I'm going to admit that I am not young. And back when I was in college and high school, and then seriously got made fun of for, you know, any kind of loving any kind of fantasy anime, anything like that. And then nowadays it's, you know, I have no problem telling people that I'm the queen of nerds, and they're like, oh, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. And then they start and they want to know more. And then that's how, you know, we get them kind of hooked and roped in. And next thing you know, they're visiting and joining our group as well. And now that I have my, you know, I'm going to, my, she's not listening, but I'm going to throw my 12-year-old daughter under the bus here. But, you know, I would have never imagined her she was growing up to all of a sudden one day just it was anime this and anime that. Mm-hmm. Mom, can you buy me anything under the sun from Hot Topic? So, mm-hmm. you know, I would not have imagined that 20 some odd years ago.
Yeah. So. Yeah. As a parent, I can kind of reflect that sentiment. It's paying off. I will tell you that it's one thing to be a fan, and it's a different thing to raise a fan. You know, so I really have the honor to openly be transparent with my 6-year-old daughter what daddy loves. And, you know, oh, my obsession with Ghostbusters and Gundam. And, you know, you guys can't see it now, but I'm wearing a Dragon Ball Z sweater. You know, the things that I love, and, you know, the appropriate iterations that she can, you know, celebrate and enjoy and engage in these things. And because, as we know, just because something is animated doesn't mean it's for kids, right? So it's a fun opportunity to connect with people that are younger, enjoy it, and, like you guys have both said, just like tell people about the things that we love. It's like, if you love something or someone, of course you're going to want to share it with the world. And it's so cool now that we, you know, have the opportunity to do so here without, you know, severe societal repercussions. You know, we're not social pariahs. You know, it feels like we're royalty almost. You know, and I gosh darn it, I love it so much. But we're gonna take a very short break. If you're just tuning in, this is Hometown Alaska with my guests Braxton Bundick and Stephanie Cabanes. We're discussing nerddom and fan culture here in Alaska. Feel free to give us a call if you're in Anchorage at 550-8433. Statewide number is 1-888-353-5752. And if you have good Twitter fingers, go ahead and shoot us an email, hometown@alaskapublic.org. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org.
The conversations you hear on Hometown Alaska are focused on the needs and voices of Alaskans, and the generosity of Alaskans brings them to you. Join your neighbors and become a member of your public radio station today.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska, everybody. This is your host, Justin Williams, here with Braxton Bundick and Stephanie Cabanes. Today, we are talking about fan culture and nerddom here in Alaska. So if you're just tuning in, feel free to give us a call at 550-8433 in Anchorage, statewide 1-888-353-5752. Hit us up with an email at hometownatalaskapublic.org. Let us know what your favorite fandoms are. Let us know what your favorite TV shows are. Comics, anime, whatever it is that you're interested in, cosplay, or if you have a question you want to know, I feel like we're the people to help you answer that. So, Braxton and Stephanie, so glad to have you guys here. I want to ask two really important questions. being as that we're all minorities in one way or the other, this question might vary or it may not matter at all, but I've been wondering about this and I've been saving it for the show. Who are your pop culture heroes? Who are your favorite creators? Who are your favorite games and game characters, your favorite film characters? Like, just lay it on me, man. Like, what are the franchises that really got you into this? Braxton, you touched on this a little bit, but I definitely want to hear from both of you guys. Like, what helped you become the nerds that you are today?
Oh man. I don't know. You can go first if you got one. I'm okay. Thinking back. I'm a big Marvel fan myself. So, and like, I love Hawkeye. And actually, it's kind of funny, is I play an archer in Amsgard. And so I'm not like I'm modeling myself around Hawkeye, but he's always been my favorite.
Okay.
And then if you want to get further back, Gambit from
X-Men.
Yo.
I love me some Gambit.
That's an excellent choice. Those are both excellent choices. I love the both of them, especially Clint Barton. I feel like he's gotten a bit more of a spotlight thanks to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, his portrayal by Jeremy Renner, who's a great actor. What about you, Braxton? You've touched on Sonic a little bit.
Yeah, I touched on Sonic a little bit. That's definitely my video game comic character for sure. And then it's definitely Goku for Dragon Ball Z,
okay.
Dragon Ball Super, just all the Dragon Balls.
All the Dragon Balls.
Because there's so much and it's still going to this day.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I guess, man, I don't even know for like the superhero Marvel DC stuff. I mean, it's such a, there's a lot to go with, but honestly, those definitely ones that I named are for sure the ones that I like. It's Sonic, Goku, just because they're the, I mean, yeah, they're the main characters, but it's one of those, like, they are the passionate heart ones. Oh, gosh, and I forgot one person. All Might from My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
I like him a lot, too.
Plus Ultra, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just because of how they embody the whole, like, justice and having a good time, but then also doing good for other people and helping out when they can.
Yeah.
I mean, Goku, unfortunately, sometimes little dunce here and there, just all the time. But nonetheless, all of them give you that actual hope of, like, you can do anything, that whole teamwork aspect, the positivity, things that just resonate a lot with a lot of people, even though there are different characters in each of those genres where it's like, man, that's the great thing about most fandom. It's like you can be part of those characters, or it's like, oh, I'm just like that. Oh man, I'm totally like this person. And honestly, everyone has their person. And even then, we can go on to saying, like, for those at the time of, like, you know, when Harry Potter movies came out, there was a huge slew of Harry Potter people just coming out of nowhere. You know, and now it's like, oh, what's your house? And now you have these, you know, parties and wands and things you can purchase. And it's like, oh, cool. Everyone's like, it's so natural to even talk about Harry Potter. Like, oh, who are you? Slytherin. Sweet. Hufflepuff. What? You know, it just goes on from there. Gryffindor, you know. But anywho.
It's powerful, isn't it? It's crazy. It's not even just like something that's just there, right? It's actually a very powerful tool. You know, it can really make people feel alive and connected. And you mentioned Harry Potter, like, wow, like after 7 books and 8 films, like that franchise is still going strong, you know. It's one of the most popular, just the name Harry Potter is one of the most popular names in pop culture history. Right. So the way that we view these characters and the way they're able to connect with us as adults and as children, I think, is extremely powerful. You did mention Goku, who is extremely powerful and extremely clumsy. And it makes me think of my daughter, who is the clumsiest person I've ever met in my life, except for me. Right. So these characters in such human ways embody us in so many different ways. I don't know if you guys ever watched Evangelion. But that, you know, mecha anime is kind of my jam. But the main character, Shinji, is not this guy who, grows up and matures and, you know, is just like this mega soldier. Like, this guy's basically a coward. He's a kid, and he wants love from his parents. And there's all these psychological conflicts, inner conflicts that he's dealing with that as children watching this, we may not be able to process. But as a 32-year-old man, I can look at this 14-year-old boy and say, holy cow, that was me. Or that is me, even now as a parent, like dealing with the things of the fears, the insecurities that he's dealing with. And those are the kind of things that, you know, being able to talk about these sorts of things allow us to express, allow us to admit to one another and ourselves in a really weird way. Fan culture is therapeutic, you know. And I think that's particularly important for Alaskans because, again, a lot of us deal with isolation, especially in the colder months and the winter. It's getting dark. We stay in. And speaking of staying in, this kind of leads to my next question. And Braxton, I want to direct this to you first. In what ways did COVID change or inspire nerddom for you or fan culture for you?
For me, man, it was I'm not gonna lie, it was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Because it was one thing to not actually put on the event, you know, because of COVID.
Yeah.
And, you know, things were all shut down. That definitely was a huge deal there of a thing where it's like, okay, can't do things live as big as we want to do things. But for me, when it came to like, okay, so how do I want to plan this event? But also personally, how do I go back to my backlogs to all the anime I want to watch and also all the video games at the same time? Because it's like I'm home
right.
a lot more than ever. This is weird. So, I mean, it was a good thing. It was definitely a transition to where it was like I had to definitely figure out things from my personal life with my family and then also with the people that were helping out because, you know, things went virtual during that time and still to this day. So trying to figure out what Zoom and then I utilize more Twitch, Discord, all that stuff all at once. So it was like a huge shift of like, hey, we all get to be at this one convention center. Hey, we're all going to sit at home and listen.
Yeah.
So it was a definite shift and just one of those, it was hard, but it was also a learning experience to like just try and keep yourself up and going to learning new things. But also, like I said, backlogs that I had was like very rewarding because I just be like, man, I got to finish up this anime. I got to finish up this series. And that's where a lot of people got to actually like talk to one another and be like, okay, cool. We're going to talk about this just to have more communication than usual, but in a different sense, you know?
Mm. Yeah, what about you, Stephanie? I mean, both of you are physically active and, you know, both of your organizations and events involve physical contact, physical communication. I think both SinchiCon and AmpGuard would be extremely difficult to do over a Zoom call, you know? So,
yeah. It's been a very interesting year and a half. For sure, in retrospect for AmpGuard, we've gone through, I think this is our third shutdown. Mm. So the first one, it was we kind of scrambled. We weren't sure what to do because, you know, we couldn't meet in person. You know, they were asking everyone to not gather and everything. And we had to quickly shift our mentality and entertain, you know, 100+ people and keep them active and involved. Of course, you know, we lost some people because of that. And we had to have this huge shift to this. We shifted to Discord. We shifted to, Facebook and just trying to keep each other in the loop. And communicating with each other, and Discord was really hard. We'd have some classes because, I mean, not only do we do the fighting and the gathering, we also have like an arts and science side to mm-hmm. us where we learn, we go and create things like we'll create our weapons or we'll learn how someone created a, you know, a leather-bound book or something random like that. And we have classes. So those things, we shifted more to that online, and we were able to, you know, do video calls and classes for Discord. And then, you know, we were able to meet again, and then we closed for the winter, and then we're meeting again, and now we're closed again. So, unfortunately, you know, it gives us a lot of time to do other things like catch up on our anime, binge watch Netflix. I picked up computer gaming again, and all that was, it's great. But then I know this round, it's really hard mentally for a lot of us, because this is our family. Sometimes, I mean, a lot of people are close, like our family, and they're our friends. And when we can't see them every week, and we're so used to seeing them every week, you know, it's really hard. Yeah. And so it's just, we're doing our best trying to keep people involved. You know, having you know, online classes and stuff, but man, it is rough. Let me tell you.
I can imagine, and it makes me appreciate everything that you guys do even all the more, just to be able to have to manage everything from last year, you know, and even from the perspective of someone who's not actively involved in, like, you know, AmGuard or cosplay. I did see a very interesting, I guess I could say, paradigm shift. Right. In regards to cinema in particular, I mean, our theater shut down, mm-hmm. which for a cinephile like me was crazy. It's like going to therapy and all of a sudden your therapist moves to another state. You know, that was really, really hard. We saw a lot of films delayed, you know, some off the top of my head, Fast 9, the new James Bond, the upcoming Ghostbusters 3, all those that have been released today or will be released, or not today, but this year, were supposed to be released last year. But also we got direct-to-video early releases for certain films. Birds of Prey was the first one that came to mind that actually came out last year. So I thought that was really funky and very, very interesting. The commercialization, of all of this, it was really, really difficult. Whereas physical theaters shut down, streaming services were rolling in the dough. And Braxton, like you said, we're at home. We don't want to be outside anyway just because it's snowing and it's dark, but now we have to be. And that opened up a very unique opportunity for businesses to kind of capitalize on this. And we actually just got an email from a gentleman named Mike that I want to read, because he starts to talk about this a little bit. The email goes like this. Been a longtime anime, comic, and fantasy fan/nerd. I appreciate the expansion and acceptance of the culture by the wider society, but I believe that commercialization of these genres and fan bases has ruined the fun of the casual fan. As soon as people began to collect and do these things to make a profit, or saw that they could make a profit, it has changed the way that people collect, interact, and talk about the various genres. A lot of this has turned into being about money and scarcity versus fun and imagination. Thoughts or comments on the negative capitalization of fandom bases by large commercial interests? Stephanie, what do you think about that?
That's a good point. You know, that's some things that that never crossed my mind, actually. That, yeah. I mean, now that you think about it, the commercialization with these and taking advantage is I can certainly see that that's quite huge, and it can ruin it for those hardcore fans.
Yeah.
Wow. Good point.
Yeah. One of the ways that I see that, and probably the most prevalent for me as a huge video game fan, you know, I see that with the gaming industry today, downloadable content, DLC, you know, I mean, expansion packs are nothing new, right? But now, you know, full on video game developers, even some of my favorite developers like Capcom, are coming out with, you know, half a game at full price, you know, and they're making more money off of the downloadable content to complete said game than the actual purchase of the base game. That's one way I feel that, there is negative capitalization of these certain kind of genres. They don't really do that with film, which is great, or with tabletop games or anything like that. But video games have suffered a lot in that manner.
The whole pay to win.
pay to win. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot. Do you mind if I go? Or
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, about like the video games, there are the gacha games out there that are on your cell phone too.
Right, right.
Games, so on and so forth, like pay to win or pay to be better than others kind of thing. Even then, like we were talking about, like how, I guess you were talking about the movies too, like how, let's say we'll go right back to Harry Potter, where those who were like the ones who read the books, who are avid people who read these books,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden Hollywood tries their hand in it, it can go up and down no matter which one, from fantasy to video games to, we've seen it in both cases where it's like, oh wow, they really went in a different direction.
Yeah.
They usually do.
Yeah.
Even with the Marvel films, DC, it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like with the whole commercialization of, I'm going to talk about that, Pokemon is a huge one,
mm-hmm.
that it was like, it was definitely, it still is for kids. But then you think of the trading card aspect now,
mm-hmm.
during COVID and all that stuff, from trading cards and some of the really bad things that have been transcended, it, where it's like the collecting portion, where it's like,
right, right.
You collect and the scalpers and they'll sell it for a huge price, mm-hmm. of like anything, to where the younger generation or the young kids who are like, I really want to try to get this card, they can't do it because then, unfortunately, the adults take away that aspect. But yeah, I definitely have seen that as a shift within a lot of mediums when it comes to the fandom portion. And unfortunately, that's where sometimes even the nerds, unfortunately us, we get into a debate about which film is better or why wasn't it done this way. And then it's like, well, we want the Snyder cut. That's better than this cut. And you can get into a huge debate of everything when it's like, okay, yeah, Lord of the Rings, but wait, we'll give you more Lord of the Rings with extra 6 hours. Where you're like,
right.
Why didn't you show me this before? But even then, Star Wars and so forth,
mm-hmm.
it all goes hand in hand.
It really does. It really, really does. And I think that can be kind of, I mean, as it pertains to Alaska, you know, all of us already being, you know, kind of isolated as it is and feeling like we are disconnected, I think sometimes we fall into that very, very easily, you know, because we kind of want to continue to be part of the larger experience, right? So we want to experience, you know, special showings and special this and special that and be a part of the conversation that everyone else is talking about all over the world. And so I think it's really easy for us to kind of fall into, and that's not necessarily a bad thing to enjoy things like that, right? But I'm just thinking of it from the viewpoint as like, okay, sometimes Alaska feels, we're the biggest state, sometimes it feels small. Sometimes we just feel like we are just like this little ball of people that we're taking care of ourselves, we're taking care of one another, but we are, you know, isolated in a whole lot of ways. And pop culture is one of those ways where we can stay connected. And so I think if industry creators wanted to pull some bad strings, we wouldn't be naive to it. But I feel like we would probably, you know, reconsider going right straight to it, because that's kind of what keeps us safe a lot of the time. And like I said earlier, it's therapeutic. Right. And you want to stay in therapy if you're healing, or if you're just, you just want to be a part of something. And I think that's really important for us to just kind of like, you know, it's a fun conversation to have. But we are going to take another short break. Everyone tuning in, this is Hometown Alaska with your host, Justin Williams, speaking with Mr. Braxton Bundick and Mrs. Stephanie Cabaness, talking about fan culture and nerddom here in Alaska. We're going to take a short break. If you wanted to give us a call here in Anchorage, that's 550-8433 statewide, 1-888-353-5752. Or hit us up with email, hometown@alaskapublic.org. We're going to take a short break.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everyone, we are back. This is Justin Williams, Hometown Alaska, here speaking with Braxton Bundick and Stephanie Cabanis about fan culture and nerddom here in Alaska. So we got a couple of questions left before we wrap up today's lovely, lovely episode, which I'm grateful to the both of you for joining me and co-facilitating this conversation. I wanted to direct this next question to you, Braxton. And I wanted to talk about blurreds. Are you familiar with the term?
Yeah.
So, yeah. For people who don't know, a blurred is a black nerd. It is a portmanteau of black and nerd. I'm pretty sure, I'm like 99% sure the term originated on the sitcom Scrubs. And the term in of itself has become a phenomenon, sort of establishing blackness as welcome, right? Whereas maybe in the past, it may not necessarily have been so mainstream for people that look like you and I to talk about this kind of stuff, to even enjoy it out in public, which I find hilarious because the first cartridge-based video game home console, the Fairchild Video Game Entertainment System, was developed by a black man.
What?
His name was Jerry Lawson. Yeah. Eartha Kitt played Catwoman in the 60s Batman television series. I think she was the third woman to portray the role. Don't even get me started. When you talk about Star Trek, okay, Nichelle Nichols broke ground in the 60s, right? So it's like we've always been here. We're not new to this. So why did we ever need to be welcomed back into it? Why haven't we been acknowledged before? What do you think about that?
Well, honestly, I mean, man, that's an interesting question. Because I guess the thing is, it's like, it's one of those, like, I guess with the athletes first, you know, sports was probably the first big things when it was like Muhammad Ali or Michael Jordan and all, just sports alone, where people just think like, oh yeah, black people are great. Great sports. They're just athletic, fit, all that stuff. Because we're just loud, proud, whatever, you know. And then the thing is, it was like, I don't know how the shift even happened, or the fact that me personally, like, I know I've been a nerd through and through. I've been really loud about it. Like, I'll just wear whatever that's nerd all the time, no matter what. I've been like that since I was a kid. Yeah. I never cared. And the thing is, I don't know. I think it was where, even when, like, let's say, the meaning from the rappers, R&B, and all that, where they actually started saying things or putting it into their lyrics, and then people were just like, wait a minute, they like this too? But even then, it just came to where it's like we became part of a lot of the forums, when forums were a thing back in the day, or at least the fact of getting into the social media, and then, like, even celebrities who were coming out later on who are older, they're like, oh, yeah, I rock with that. It was like, oh, what? It was like, and the thing is, it's like, it became one of those things where I don't think like people would have ever asked, but it's like, even we, I don't know if we even like mention it much, you know, kind of thing. Cause it was never looked as, oh yeah, you're watching this thing. Oh, that's stupid. Don't even look at that. You need to be tough. You need to be proud of people. You need to look at this as a history. Don't look at this stuff. That stuff's fake. And unfortunately, I think that's probably even looking back at, you know, like from parents, our parents or generations back then, where it's like it never gave that extra, you know, push of saying you can be something different and still keep your identity of who you are.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I answered the question because it's a deep question.
It is a deep question. Yeah. I wish we had more time to dive into it, but you really, you hit the nail on the head there, man. When you look different, there are certain expectations that other people expect you to uphold. And nerddom, I don't think, is really part of that. And we're kind of seeing a resurgence in that.
Yeah.
You know, so we could have we could talk about this all day. We could have 7-hour diatribes about it, right? But the reality is that there is a huge positive happening here. And I even see it, especially here in Alaska, with you leading the way in SenchiCon. I think that's extremely huge for nerddom here and in Alaska. And so I want you to be encouraged by that, because I certainly am. And this next question, Stephanie, is for you. When we talk about female nerds, we talk about female actresses and female creators, right? You're not there is no king of the Alaska chapter of AmpGuard. There is a queen, and you are the queen. You are the top of the food chain. I think that's marvelous. But I think of things like when one of my favorite video game series is Battlefield. It's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. And when Battlefield 5 came out a few years back, I remember there was such an extreme backlash for no other reason than the fact that the cover featured a woman instead of a man. That it drove me crazy to think that people would actually boycott the game, get upset about the game, start to pull facts from history about the insignificance of women in wartime. I mean, they did everything under the sun to make this like a quote unquote boys club. I didn't understand that. But you're atop of the food chain in your game.
I am, and if you look at us as a whole, there are quite a few females at the top of their food chains in the other kingdoms. There's a big shift, I think, that we're trying to get rid of the mentality of this is a male, like especially with one of our awards, it's for fighting, and you, in reality, there are what's called a sword knight, and there are one, and I'm probably going to get a bunch of texts all of a sudden saying, no, you're wrong, but I believe there is one female sword knight, and there's this huge mentality and shift across us monarchs in the game to try to incorporate and get females to this position,
yeah,
as a sword knight. And I mean, we get looked at as we're not as strong as men, we're not as fast as the men. But you know, I know several females who will go out and just whoop the crap out of some of the guys on the field. So yeah, we need to get definitely we're working on that tournament mentality shift. I was just handed a note. Yes, we do actually have one female knight. This is the one I was talking about, who is a sword knight, and she's a knight in all four of our belts. And I know most people listening probably have no idea what that means, but that is spectacular for her that she is a four-belted knight. And there comes all the text. So I'm getting swirled all of a sudden. Sorry, I apologize. But I mean, we do have, I did take over from a king. It's not to say that we don't have kings in our kingdom, but
yeah.
I mean, we just recently knighted someone back in February, and it was kind of funny. Is someone took a picture, and the other two knights that were there, and me, we're all female. And so it was a powerful picture that I saw. And it was, I'm the head of the food chain. And as you said, and the other two, have the top, titles in our kingdom. And it was just one of those, like, damn, look at these powerful women. It was an awesome picture.
That's so radical. That's absolutely radical. Yeah. And such a great thing about fan culture is the inclusivity.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So I don't. I have a lot of emotions and feelings about it that I don't want to get into. But it's difficult not to be passionate about it because you want everyone to be included.
When I look at our organization, and one of my biggest things is, I preach to people, and you know what, I don't say you have to like each other. Right. I want you to respect each other. And we have all kinds of people from all walks of life, and we welcome everyone into our organization. And and I always, like, if someone's messing with you, or someone's discriminating against you, or someone's talking down to you, or they're not respecting you, and we'll take care of it, because I mean, we want to be one of those organizations that welcomes anyone, because like I said, we have every walks of life here, and we want to be, we're just that inclusive, and we respect everyone.
That's radical. And I'm so grateful for that attitude, that respect that you have for anyone who wants to participate. We're not looking down. We're not punching down. We're looking at everyone with love and acceptance. And that's a great place to start for fandom. I mean, you know, just, you know, at our core being is this beautiful sense of inclusivity, you know, which I felt was the opposite, you know, back when we were in school and stuff. So we're doing a really great thing here in Alaska. And before we wrap up this episode, I wanted to ask you both, and Braxton, I'll ask you this first. How can people get involved? How can people find out what's going on in Alaska with fandom and things like that? I actually just got an email. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Janice Ziv did mention the Society for Creative Anachronism, which seeks to recreate the best of the Middle Ages. So maybe that feels kind of like an Amgard sort of thing. I'm not quite sure.
They are a similar organization. They're more historical, and they have a whole set of rules and a whole set of things that they do. I believe there is two, maybe three chapters present in Alaska, and I believe they're associated also with the Three Barons Festival.
Okay.
That happens in June.
Radical. Okay.
So that twice the first two weekends of June, they have their big production, which is, it's pretty cool. If you know, no one's ever been there, they didn't have it last year or this year. This year, right, they did a toned down version where they just had some vendors and some demonstrations. But it's a great Renaissance fair that gets put on the first two weekends of June, and actually move there too, so you can always come and find out about AmpGuard there as well.
Excellent. That's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Braxton, how can people get involved with CinchyCon? How can people get involved with cosplay here in Alaska?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't done an event since because of COVID.
Because of COVID,
because of COVID. Honestly, right now, if you look out for other conventions out there, so at least there are definitely a ton that's like us that are trying to do something, but it's one of those to check out the social media, or Instagram, where we just say happy birthday to certain characters, or even the fact that now, somewhat the theaters are open again-ish, there are some anime movies that are happening, like House of Castle is happening this week. We even have our own Discord to get involved and just talk and just, shoot the breeze, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we haven't really done an event this year. We weren't planning on doing something because we knew the numbers were not so good.
Right.
We had to back off on a lot of stuff. If people want to get involved, they can go on to social media to check out what's going on, but also if they just want to be a part of something that's good, we'll definitely put that on our website. It's all pretty much there in one blue and everything at the moment. But hopefully when things get back to, somewhat normalcy in a sense, then we'll, have the time to come be with people.
No doubt. That's what I want to hear, man. I'm super, super excited for that, for the comeback. It's coming soon. I can feel it. Braxton, Stephanie, thank you both so much for joining me for this episode. And everyone listening, thank you for tuning in to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Justin Williams, with Braxton Bundick and Stephanie Cabaness. Our audio engineer is Tobin Shelby, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll see you next time.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.